We have been in a series for a while on the kingdom of God, and the focus has been the blessings. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. The focus has been on the blessings of the kingdom, the fact that we are a blessed people. And I really have my motive in all of this, I believe God's motive, is to encourage us, to strengthen us, build us up. You know, it's a discouraging world sometimes. And we do easily get discouraged. So building us up as to our rights, what packet of benefits do you have from being a Christian? What are the benefits? What are the benefits of following Christ? What are the benefits of what He did for us? Well, in Ephesians, we've camped on this verse for a little while. You see it on the screen there. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We have all these blessings. Now, sometimes the word blessing is not thought of as powerfully as the Bible uses it. This means you are spoken over. God has spoken over you and spoken truth over you, and that truth over you empowers you. So we talked about some blessings. This is not going to appear on the screen here, but let me just give you a quick rundown. We talked about verse 4, for He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, He predestined us to be adopted as His children according to His pleasure and will. So today we're going to go to verse 7, which in verse 7 talks about one of these other blessings. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. The NIV, New International Version, uses the word lavish, but other versions use the word abundantly given us. Same idea, right? He abundantly, lavishly blessed us, it says here in verse 7 and 8. With His grace, and that grace factors into this idea of redemption. Well, what is redemption? You know, I was studying for this, and I thought, you know, some people are going to think, how boring, that word redemption. We hear it all the time. We don't really know what it means, I guess. Nothing God does for us is ever boring. We make it boring sometimes, right? Now, I talked to you about this a few weeks ago, that you have a part to play in this. You're here as an active listener, aren't you? You're here as an active listener, not passive. There was a screen earlier that talked about that idea that the sowing of the seed Jesus talked about. But that one, part of that is, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said that a lot. What does He mean? Everybody had, well, almost everybody had ears. Some might have had an accident, lost one or two. But what He's saying is, you have the apparatus, therefore use it. Start listening, Jesus would say. Start listening to Me, not just passing it off. There are a couple of ways we fumble when we try to listen. One is that if you've never heard much spiritual teaching, you find it puzzling. Like, I don't really know what He's talking about. No, don't know what He's talking about. What's He talking about? The Spirit and this, that, and the other. Or if you've been in this a long time, I mean a long time, you can make this mistake. But I've already heard that. I've heard that a lot. I've heard better preachers than you talk about that. And you'll miss something by thinking you already know it. And that, oh, I already know that. I've heard that before. Yeah, I taught Bible class before. I taught on that subject before. I have to watch that. We all have to watch that, don't we? That we're not listening just passively, thinking, ho-hum, you know, when are we going to get to go home? Or, I did my duty today, I'm in church, I punched my time clock, you know, and here we are. No, it's more than that. So redemption is a great theme of the Bible. We're going to see some scriptures. There's no way I can get to all the scriptures on redemption. We'll get some of them. We're talking today about the blessing of redemption. And the blessing of redemption is found in verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. What is that? The forgiveness of sin. Well, why do we need sin forgiven? Let's backtrack for a minute. Just hang on to that screen right there, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood. God created a perfect world. Now, it doesn't look that way anymore, does it? Doesn't look too good these days. And what happened was God created a paradise, created all the universe as a beautiful paradise. And as He did that, He put Adam and Eve in it, of course. You know the story from Genesis. And He put Adam and Eve in there and gave them everything except that one tree. And He said, don't eat of that tree, because that's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You won't just know about evil. You will experience evil. Now, we've all experienced evil, those in this room that are old enough to have really developed a conscience and you know what that is. We debate about what that age is. Is it 10 years old? Is it 12 years old? When is it? But that age, at some age, we experience evil. And so Adam and Eve experienced evil by disobeying God. And Satan was the one who tricked them into doing that. So then he takes them slaves. He captures them. I read a story about, I was looking for the highest ransom ever paid. And it's an amazing story. It's two brothers down in Argentina who had a big Argentine grain. They were grain traders, made a lot of money in grain trading. Their B-O-R-N, Born brothers, were both kidnapped by a terrorist group. 9 months later, they were released after payment of a huge $60 million payment, which actually today would be $293 million equivalent. The highest ransom ever paid for anybody, that was two people, obviously. But they got the kidnappers got $293 million for ransom. What's ransom? What's redemption? Redemption is the idea that you are bought back out of slavery. You're bought back. God brought Israel out of slavery, and He said, I'm redeeming you. I'm redeeming you out of slavery. And then He said, I want you to redeem all your firstborn. All your firstborn. We'll get to that look at the next slide. The idea of redemption. The idea of redemption, Exodus chapter 6. I'm not going to go there, but you can write these down and read. Exodus chapter 6 mentions it. Exodus chapter 13 mentions it. It's all entwined into the Passover that God gave them, said, put the blood of the lamb over the doorposts and the destroying angel will pass over you. Passover, I'm redeeming you. And then He said to Israel, I want you to redeem all your firstborn. If you have a firstborn son, you got to redeem him. Well, what does that mean? Pay a price. You got to go to the priest and pay a price. You got a firstborn son. He's a few hours old, and you traipse down to the priest, and he put the money up, and you say, I'm buying back my son. I'm redeeming my son. Why do you have to redeem your son? God said, because I redeemed all of you from Egypt. I paid for you. What did He pay for them? He paid Jesus for them. The blood of the Lamb was prefiguring Christ. The blood of the Lamb was a preview. The blood of the Lamb over the doorpost was a signal. They didn't understand it all. We look back on it. We understand it. We say that was Jesus was given for them too. Just for that salvation away from all of them dying. As the angel came through, the destroyer came through. Who died? All of the firstborn of Egypt. Firstborn animals, firstborn people, all died. What about in the land of Goshen where Israel was? Nobody died. Why? Blood of the Lamb. That's redemption. Redemption means I bought you out of the mess you were in. Can you identify with that? Anybody here or listening on this, on all the audio, anybody ever been a drug addict? And you look back at the mess of your life and you say, God redeemed me out of a big mess. I know people that were going to die if God didn't redeem them out of that addiction. And He did. If you have faith, He will. So redemption. A famous scholar, a well-known scholar, Kenneth Wiest, here's how he describes the word redemption. We're looking at this idea of the idea of redemption. He said there are three words in the New Testament, Greek words. One means to buy a slave in the marketplace. Redeem. You go down to the marketplace, you buy a slave. That gives us the creeps these days. But the ancient world, half the people in the ancient world were slaves. Why were they slaves? Prisoners of war. And they were turned into slaves. You go down to the marketplace and buy a slave. That's the first word. Agorazo, I believe it is. You ever heard of agoraphobia? What is that? People afraid to go out. Agora in the Greek, it means marketplace. It's the market. So you go down to the market and buy a slave. That's one. You redeem the slave. What do you mean? I paid a price for you. Come follow me. You got to come with me because I paid a big price for you. So come on. You're going to work for me from now on. I own you because I paid a price. The next word is exagora, agorazo, to buy off or to buy up, meaning people would buy slaves and then set them free. They go down to the slave market and have mercy on a couple of them and say, I'm going to buy these two. So you buy those two, you redeem them. What do? You pay a price for these two. You redeem. Maybe it's a couple, a husband and wife. You buy them, you redeem them, and you say, okay, get out of sight, and you say, okay, you're free, go. That's another use of the word redeem. In the Greek language, anyway, the Bible's written in Greek. We just translated it. There's another word here, lutreo, which means to set free by payment of a ransom. We know what a ransom is. We hear it a lot in news media, don't we? Sometimes people sadly get kidnapped, or their kids, the rich folks, their kids get kidnapped, and then they have to pay a ransom. And, you know, it's a lot of the movies, they get them back, but sometimes those ransoms have to be paid or you don't get the person back. I mean, a whole crew, I saw one story where a ship and a whole crew of people got kidnapped, and they had to pay, the company had to pay a ransom for that. So look at the word redeem. Is that a bigger word to you now? That word means I was in a mess and somebody got me out. I was a slave to Satan. I was a slave to the evil ones, and the Lord got me out. He paid a price. He paid a price bigger than $293 million, didn't he? He paid the biggest price that's ever been paid for anything. His own son, Jesus, volunteered to come and get you out of the mess that you were in. The idea of redemption. Exodus 13 on the screen there. They had to redeem their firstborn sons. So if you look at it, the idea of redemption, I want to show you some scriptures that we will look at to talk about how God sees us in this redemption thing. And I don't have them all written out on the screen. I just have the citation so I can write them down. Go back later and read them for yourself. But the first one's Romans chapter 3. Let's just do one at a time, Richard. Back up to Romans. They'll get way ahead of me if you give them all of those. They'll get confused if you give them. There you go. Thank you. Romans 3. Turn to Romans 3. You do have a Bible, don't you? I hope so. I heard a guy say one time, I'd rather leave home without my britches than to leave my Bible at home. So I thought, well, that's a good point. Do you have one? Might be on your phone, right? Are you willing to open it and look at it? How much, talk about price, how much did it cost God to give you this book? Well, it took 1,500 years to write it, and 40 different people were involved in the writing of it. The Holy Spirit wrote it through people. People died to give you the right to have a Bible. Did you know that? There were much of the persecution of the past 1,000 years or more has been Christians persecuting each other because they wanted to translate the Bible into their own language. There was a time when the Bibles were chained to the pulpits because they were so valuable. They were hand copied and had ornate covers on them, and they were chained to the pulpits because only the priest was able to use it, and they would do it in Latin, and nobody could understand Latin very well. And so people came along. I don't remember the names of all of them. Tyndale, I think, was one. They came along, and they decided we need to translate the Bible from Latin, from Greek, into the common language. And some people got horrified. You're not going to you're not going to downgrade the Bible to the common level, are you? Well, that's what, why God wrote it. And so there was one man famously said, I'm doing this so every plowboy in England will be able to read the Bible in his own language. People died over that stuff. And we treat the Bible like it's just a coffee table display, or it's an appendage that we don't really want around that much. I hope we're getting over that. I hope we're getting to the point where you start looking at, in class we talked about the 119th Psalm and how powerful that is. Go read it sometime. And then say, I want that attitude toward God's Word. I want God's Word to minister to me all day long, every day. I want God's Word to be important to me, because if God's Word's important to you, that's a sign that God's important to you. So Romans chapter 3 talks about redemption. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 3:23, we all know Romans has a lot to say about our redemption, our salvation. Back up to verse 21. I know the screen has 23, but I'll give you a little before 23. But now righteousness from God, Romans 3:21. He's talking about how we can't save ourselves because we're slaves to Satan. And now it says, but now righteousness from God apart from law has been made known. What? You mean I can be righteous before God without keeping a bunch of rules? Because we all fail at rule keeping, don't we? Romans 3:21. But now righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testified. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned. How many? We're all in that mess. Sooner or later, a little baby grows up and they're going to do it too, right? You say this little innocent child has never sinned. Well, just wait. If they get old enough, they will, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely. This is New International Version. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. What did God do for us? He gave Jesus. We talk about what redemption is. It's buying somebody out of slavery. Did He buy us out of slavery? Well, in the ancient world, you buy somebody out of slavery, you might have to pay 1,000 drachmas or whatever the money was at that time. But what was paid for you? Son of God, the blood of the Son of God. Does that matter to you at all? Does it excite you? Do you say, wow, I must be worth something to God? If you hear somebody talking about what they paid for something, and I heard a guy say it this way, he said, You hear a man quoting prices of artwork, and he says, now here's a piece of artwork that costs $25, and here's a piece of artwork that costs $600,000. What do you think the difference is? One's a whole lot better than the other one. If you pay big, big money, then the thing you're getting might be valuable. If you watch car auctions, antique cars, old cars, you know, I saw somebody pay it was on an auction, something like $26 million for a 1960-something Ferrari that was one of the top models they had ever made. But, you know, even back in the day, it was only $17,000, $18,000. Now they're giving $26 million for it. Why are they giving $26 million for it? Because there aren't many and everybody wants one. All the collectors want it. And it's 26. Now, if you pay $26 million for a car, you don't drive it to work, all right? What do? Put it in your museum. And you put it behind ropes or behind glass, and somebody walks by and looks at it, they buy a $10 ticket to look at it, and that's about all you can do with it. It's not worth, it won't get you to work and back, right? So what's the value of it? It's just that somebody else wanted it, and somebody else wanted it, and they got in this auction, and I want it more than he does. And so the intrinsic value is not there. The intrinsic value is not there, but there was a big price paid for it. That's you, folks. We were not worth. If you say, I'm just a nobody and I ain't worth nothing, yeah, you're right. Except in God's eyes. Except in God's eyes. And he said, see, God is love, and all this stems from his love. He said, I want you to be mine. I want you to be mine. I'm ransoming you. I'm redeeming you out of that slavery. And so when you think about that, that should matter to you. You should say, my goodness, what did he do for me? Why? I think sometimes when people who have had a rough life and an addicted life and down on their luck, down to the bottom of everything, almost living on the street, when they hear this and they accept it, I've seen them break down in tears. It's like, why? Now, if you think a whole lot of yourself, and more, the Bible says don't think more of yourself than you ought to. If you're vaunted up in your own mind, you might not get this. But if you've ever been on the other end of sin and you've ever realized who you really are, and you've ever realized I am not in right in God's sight, and you ever realize one day I'm going to leave this planet and I'm going to stand in front of Jesus, if you realize all these things and you say, I'm in myself, I'm nothing. Even Jesus said, apart from my Father, I can do nothing. So you come to that point and you say, I'm just really a nobody, but look at what he did for me. A lot of the famous stories, if you go to Broadway or read novels, a lot of famous stories are people about people who are nothing. They were disfigured. They were broken. They were not worth anything. And somebody came along and loved them and brought them out of that. Isn't that the gospel? It's the gospel. We went to Phantom of the Opera one time on Broadway on a school. We were chaperones on a school trip. And I saw that. I can't remember all the all of the plot. But watching that thing, I thought, it's the gospel. It's the disfigured guy loved by the beautiful woman. And it changed his life. You see that in drama a lot, don't you? Why? Because it's based, the gospel's most powerful thing on the earth. And even people who don't believe in the gospel like we do will see the value of it in a sense of saying, that's a powerful story. That's a powerful story that the God of the whole universe was stooped down to love us when we don't deserve it. What can we do for him? Nothing. I mean, if he takes all your money, what good is that to him? People think God's trying to get my money. They go to church, they're trying to get my money. He doesn't need your money. You need to give it. Because it's an act of faith that says, I'm going to invest in the kingdom of God. You need to be a giver. God doesn't need your money. Jesus got money, tax money out of a fish's mouth one time, didn't he? Told Peter, go down and catch a fish and there'll be the tax money in the fish's mouth. God can make money all he wants to. When we look at who we really are, we're not arrogant anymore. We say, thank God for this thing called redemption. Galatians chapter 3, we better hurry on. Galatians, y'all get me distracted all the time. I don't know how you do that, but Galatians chapter 3. These are some beautiful passages to keep reading them for yourself. Galatians 3, about verse 13. Christ redeemed us. There's that word again. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from what? Curse of the law. What's the curse of the law? Go back sometime and read the latter chapters of Deuteronomy, and you'll see that Israel was told, you keep the law, oh, it's going to be beautiful in this new land you're getting, and you're going to have everything be abundance and flowing of milk and honey and all that. But if you don't keep this law, and he lists diseases and calamities and problems, Moses is telling them, you're going to this land now, but if you don't keep God's law, it's going to be a disaster. If you keep God's law, it'll go well. Guess what? They couldn't keep that law, like we can't keep all the laws we need to keep. So in Galatians here, it says he redeemed us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we're not under that law of Moses anymore. From the curse of the law, how did he do it? He became a curse for us. He took your hell so you don't have to go there. Boy, is that good news. I don't want you to walk out of here today afraid of your salvation that you're not going to make it. Somebody else already made it for you. Well, does that give you a license to sin? No. It gives you a license to love Jesus even more. Say, wow, anybody loves me that much has got my attention. He's got my attention for the rest of my life. I'm going to do exactly what he wants me to do with the rest of my life. Isn't that amazing? Redeemed me, you, us, from the curse of the law. He put himself under the curse, put himself in hell so you don't have to go there. Isn't that is the good news of the gospel. I'm not under God's judgment anymore. You say, what if I sin? What if I mess up? Guess what? If you mess up this afternoon and you sin and you tell a lie, whatever sin it is God going to say, well, I hadn't counted on that one. I guess I'm going to have to pull his card. I'm going to have to revoke my promise. I have to revoke my promise because he sinned now. I got him in Christ yet. We still have a sin problem, don't we? If we live by the flesh. Romans 8, we're studying on Sunday morning. You live by the Spirit. You put to death the deeds of the body. Just walk by the Spirit. John wrote one time that if you walk in the light as he is in the light, what happens? The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. That's good news. Is God trying to keep you out of heaven? Is he selfish with it? I don't want you in here. You're not good enough. Is God trying to keep you out of heaven? Not according to the Bible. Is God trying to keep you out of heaven on a technicality? Well, you didn't go to church this time, and you know you missed three in a row, and that's it. Not going to have you. Can't have people like that in heaven, you know. I'm not saying you ought to skip church. What I'm saying is we all mess up. We all mess up sometimes, don't we? The gospel takes care of that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Verse 13, he redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, this Old Testament writing, cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree. Verse 14, he redeemed us. He said it twice now. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's non-Jewish, through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. He gives you his Holy Spirit. Ephesians says the Holy Spirit's a down payment on heaven. It's a guarantee that you're going to make it. Redeemed us, bought us back. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Write it down if you don't have your Bible handy. Write for Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We're going to start at 13 and 14. Chapter 1, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has what? Doesn't that sound like buying a slave out of a slave market? He did what? Rescued us out of what? Dominion or kingdom of darkness. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves and whom we have. There's that word again. Redemption. The forgiveness of sins. He says he rescued us. He rescued us. Dominion of darkness is an interesting phrase. If you look at other places, not on the screen here, you'll have to write it down, I guess. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5 about verse 19. It talks about that issue of the whole world. We are children of God, and it talks about, but the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, that sounds scary to a lot of people. The whole world is under the control of the devil. And you think about that and say, oh, it just can't be, can it? Well, look around. Just look around. Who's running this show? You say, God, God's running everything. God's will is done in everything. You know, I prayed for this, didn't happen, must be God's will. Satan has a will too. And you have a will. So the three of these three wills kind of interact with each other. So it's not God's will that babies die with cancer. You say, how do you know that? Well, the babies die with cancer in heaven. Does anybody die with cancer in heaven? Do you have a police force in heaven? Do you have hospitals? Do you have emergency rooms in heaven? Do you have divorce court in heaven? What's God's will? Jesus said, pray, thy will be done where? Your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. Woo, wouldn't we have a nice world? If tonight at midnight everything canceled out, started all over again, and the whole world, God's will was being done in everything on this planet, just like it's being done in heaven, we'd basically be heaven on earth. Be heaven on earth. He rescued us from what? The dominion of darkness. Where's the dominion of darkness? Well, a lot of it's on the earth. So we don't have to walk that way. We don't walk by the flesh. We walk by the Spirit. We don't have to give in to that. We don't have to do Satan's work. We just keep our lives in this Word, in Christ, following the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, God protects you from that dominion of darkness. And he rescued us. And then he uses the word redemption, doesn't he? He rescued us, verse 13 and verse 14, in whom we have redemption. Redemption. He bought us out of that. And here's another one. Hebrews chapter 9. We read a little bit of that at communion service. And this one, Hebrews chapter 9, about verse 12. Jesus entered the most holy place, Hebrews 9, verse 12. He did not enter by means of the holy place, most holy place, by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained. What does obtained mean? He got it. What did he get? Eternal redemption. So you are redeemed and you'll always be redeemed. Because he's at the right hand of the Father right now. He is our great high priest. He has his own blood. I don't understand all that, but he has his own blood in heaven. He is a symbol of the fact that you've already been saved, that you've already been to hell and back, that he's already done all that for you. He is a symbol of the one man, the one human being that ever lived that did God's will exactly perfectly. He did it exactly the way he was supposed to do it, God's Son in a human body, and he did it all. And he did it all for us. And then he laid his life down to say, he didn't have to die for himself. It really wasn't fair. You know, we don't like that. We don't like unfairness where I get punished for something I did not do, but he got punished for something he did not do. In fact, he got punished for the sin of all humanity, past, present, and future. He got punished for all of that, but he didn't do any of it. The shame. Can you imagine the shame that descended on him? Have you ever really been ashamed of yourself? Whew, that's hard. That's a burden sometimes. You have to go apologize and you have to go make it right. He took the shame of the whole world on himself and all the sin of the whole world on himself and took the punishment for all that sin on himself. And this says here that as he did that, he obtained eternal redemption. How? By his blood. Not the blood of animals. That's part of the chapter 9 of Hebrews. A lot of chapter 9 is talking about what kind of blood was shed. It wasn't animal blood, it was his blood. And he took it with him to heaven. He is the everlasting sacrifice. Today, 2,000 years or so after he died, he is in the heavenly realms with his Father, and he is interceding for us. He ever lives to intercede for us, the Bible says. He's interceding for us, and he's standing there or serving there. Hebrews gives you the picture that he's serving like the Old Testament priest served in the tabernacle with blood and incense and sacrifices. He's serving in the real one, not the one on earth, The one on earth was only a dim copy. The tabernacle, the temple, the holy place, most holy place, there is a real one in heaven, and he's there, and he's there representing the human race, representing his people, all of who have faith in him, and he's representing the fact that he's already made atonement. He still has that body that he took to the cross and was raised from the dead, and then it was glorified, and he's now standing at the Father, in the Father's presence on our behalf. That's something that's hard to grasp, that we weak little human beings are worth that much to God. But we are. We are. He wanted children, so he made Adam and Eve in his image. If God, since God is love, and if you are a supernatural, you have a supernatural love, what do you want? People. You want beings. If you really love people, you want to be around people. But God really loves beings, and so he made a bunch for his own children. Well, Satan stole us, and now he's redeemed us out of all that. He bought us back out of all that. So he's redeemed us, giving us eternal redemption. There he is at in the Father's presence in that same body. Now, it's different, glorified. You say, what's the difference? Well, the other day I was walking around out there and I saw a little acorn. It's kind of dried out, like it's not the time for acorns, I guess. But I picked it up and it's, you know, you put it in your pocket, it's real small, about like the end of my thumb. And it fell off that huge oak tree out there. That oak tree, I don't know how, it's 75 years old, maybe it's pretty far, it goes back pretty far. What happened? Well, it was all woods out here, I'm sure, then. And a little acorn hit the ground and it took root, started growing. That little acorn is now that oak tree. You say, no, it's not. Yeah, it is. That it's not the same, but that genetic material that came out of that acorn is in that oak tree. In fact, if you pick up an acorn, it's got an oak tree in it. And it's got a grove of oak trees in it because it'll start reproducing and that'll reproduce and that'll reproduce. It's amazing. The law of the seed. Jesus talked about that all the time. The law of seed. Sowing seed. So what does that mean? Jesus' body now is like that gigantic oak tree. It is glorified. It is a God-like body. It is a body that God dwells in. And you're going to get one. Your body at the resurrection is going to be transformed. The Bible says to be just like his glorious body. He bought all that for you. He bought all that for you, us. Amazing. This little boring word, redemption, you start unpacking it, and my goodness, what God has done for us. We've been too content with a surface reading of the Bible. I got to read my 23rd Psalm today because I got to go off to work and make me feel better. No. If you dig in, I know I've been doing it about 40 years. If you dig in to that word, it still amazes me. I after decades of studying it, it's still, things just come out of it. Hebrews 9:15 talks about ransom. Verse 15, for this reason Christ is mediator of a new covenant, that those who may receive, those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom. He bought us out of the slave market. He gave a ransom. He freed us. And then he said, I need you to work for me a little while, and then you're going to come on home, and we're all going to look like that. We're all going to look like Jesus. Live in heaven forever. A new heavens and a new earth. Last slide, or next to last, there's a passage here in 1 Peter chapter 1. You can read it off the screen, this one. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. When somebody gets ransomed, like the two brothers I talked about, or like this big ship one time that got kidnapped the whole crew and the ship and everything, what was the ransom? A lot of gold and silver, right? A big bank account. We want this much, $293 million in today's money. What redeemed us? Not something like that, he says. Not with perishable. Will God's ransom for us ever perish? Will it ever disappear? Well, you know, will heaven fall on hard times and have to sell it to the pawn shop? I mean, it's not going to happen, right? He says here, it was perishable things, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. Is life awfully empty without God? Last slide now. But with the precious blood of Christ. Are we worth that much? Somehow God sees enough. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We're not worth it, but He paid that for us. Precious blood. Everybody's blood's precious. If you start spilling your blood right here in this building, we're going to get you to the paramedics, aren't we? I mean, you don't have a lot of time to waste. I remember a pro football player many years ago was in a bar somewhere, and they got shot in the leg, but they hit that big artery, and he died before they could get him to the hospital. Is your blood precious? Yeah. How precious is Jesus' blood? Only one blood like it ever existed. It's the blood of God. The blood of God was given for you. A lamb without blemish or defect. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. So, I put this little comment at the end. So we're praying for others to find out about this. Some of us need to find out more about it, but does this broken world need to find out about it? All right. Father, we thank You that You've taught us today. You've sown Your seed into us, and we pray for these folks again in this audience, but also in this book we have, notebook that we have, people who need to find out how much You love them, how much You love us, how much You love broken humanity. Please help us, Father, by Your Spirit, help us to really grasp it, understand it, grow in it, that this beautiful price You paid has literally redeemed us out of hell. Now, we are grateful for it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Take your songbook, if you will. We're going to stand here in just a moment, sing together, and that'll be your cue. If you want to come and have me pray with you or whatever you need, just let us know. So stand with us and let us sing.